This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We're happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you back to this station every Sunday for worship with us.
Industry, business, and academia are all out recruiting gifted people to labor in their industry. Should the Church of Jesus Christ be out recruiting people? We're going to talk about that today in a sermon. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us such a marvelous message to proclaim that brings help and hope and peace and love and comfort to all parts of a very, very starving world. Lord, help us to have people who are endowed by your Holy Spirit with the gifts that can come from you alone to tell the story of Christ in all of its dynamic form. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, I have been told that a successful coach is always a good recruiter. This supposedly is true in junior high as well as it is in professional athletics. This person can see the qualities that are needed to become great athletes, and that's the people that they're going after. Just imagine that here is a young man who's playing ninth grade basketball. He loves the game. And the ninth grade coach has told the high school coach, you better take a look at him. So one night the high school coach comes over and watches the team as they play. And he sees what could become a very, very good high school player. So when the game is over, he gets a hold of this young man, and he said, I watched you tonight. You have a lot of athletic ability. I would like to invite you to come out for the high school basketball team when we begin practice next fall. The boy goes home, and he says to his father and mother, just think what happened to me today. The high school coach has personally invited me to come out and practice with the high school team, and perhaps I will have an opportunity to play with their group. Everybody was riding high, but recruiting is very, very important. I realize that it is dangerous to use secular illustrations to explain great spiritual decisions, like asking someone to consider being called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in building his kingdom. That is quite different than recruiting a high school athlete. But please be gracious and forgive me for using this illustration, because I think there are some similarities here. Was Paul not recruiting when he called Timothy to become his successor? He had watched him in Lystra. He knew the qualifications of that man. He knew that he was committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a good background for all practical purposes. And then came that day when he says, Timothy, I believe we can use you in bringing the message of Jesus Christ to this world. And so Timothy was recruited by St. Paul. Now it's Timothy's turn. And I ask you again, was he not recruiting when he went out and said to the people of his day, no one in particular, but if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you should be a witness for him. And we can use you in furthering this kingdom. I'd like to ask you, in a very special way, to give consideration to becoming one of those who will lead the banner as we mention Jesus Christ's name around the world. Is not John Scott correct when he says, this is a true apostolic succession? Certainly it is more in the message than in the men to teach it. For what the generations hand down from generation to generation must always be a biblical faith. Is God still using people to recruit those who are and will be his disciples around the world, faithful servants? I believe he really is. Certainly the word of mouth, inviting somebody to come and be a Sunday school teacher, inviting somebody to consider the ministry, comes from word of mouth. It is not the only way, but it is a very, very common way. Now let's ask the question, who are called? All who know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord are called to be his witnesses. When you have entered into a relationship with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you have a story to tell. And it is that story of yours in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and how he became real and living and vital in your life that the world needs to hear. That for you is the Christian witness as you point them to Christ in Calvary's cross, the empty tomb, and how that entered into your life and made you a brand new person. Now these are the people who are being recruited, or should be at least. Now we ask the question, who are the ones who are really recruiting? And I think now we have two particular groups. First, let's take a look at the parents. Parents are, if they're Christian parents, are concerned about where their children are going to end up when all of this formal education is over. And so real often you hear a parent say, wouldn't you like to be an engineer? Wouldn't you possibly like to stay with me on the farm? Would you really like to go into medicine? It's a good place for a lot of women in these days. You hear them saying that. What do you want to be? I was one of those parents. I wanted my children prepared in college so that they knew when they got out where they were going, on to graduate school, on to get further training, or at least into a job where they could be people living a very normal life. Christian parents are really very, very important as recruiters. And I hope you never let a child go through your life and not really challenge him with these particular thoughts. And if he has a commitment to Jesus Christ and a maturity that is growing there, to ask him, not to put the pressure on him, but to ask him, have you ever considered the theological seminary? This is a possibility. Another group of people who are very, very important in recruiting young people, and they are the pastors. The pastors who have these young people in their confirmation classes, who sit with them week after week after week and see what Jesus Christ is doing in their lives. There again, we have two different kinds of recruiting. You say to one, I hope when you get out of school and you find your job in a local business, a factory or hospital or wherever it may be, that you'll become very, very active in this church. I believe that you have the ability to become a strong Sunday school teacher. Just think of it, if you had a ninth grade class of boys and they were hoping to meet you on Sunday morning because you had something good to challenge them with. And when teaching is good, it is challenging for ninth graders. Believe me, I know that is so. That's one kind of recruiters. The recruiters I'm also thinking about are those who are going into what we call full-time work, where they may be pastors or missionaries or professors in our church colleges or whatever else it is, that the Lord could use you, say to them, right there. I had that happen to me. And I've related this to you more than once, I'm sure. But I was in a Bible camp up in New Hampshire, walking down to Lake Winnipesaukee to take a swim with a young pastor who had really impressed me. And as we walked along the way, he began to ask me a few questions. And finally he said, have you ever considered the ministry? There is a recruiter. I would never have thought about it, perhaps, if that man hadn't said something to me. I don't think that I would ever have become a pastor. Now, whether that was good or bad for the kingdom of God, you have an example here of what recruiting really is. Just these words, have you ever considered? Have you ever considered? I had a good friend while I was in the theological seminary. He said, I have to go to the mission field. That simply has been planted in my heart. I have been recruited. Sometimes I think I would rather stay here and enjoy the conveniences that we have in the United States of America, but I must go. And that man went, and he spent a lifetime there. Those of you who are teachers in public schools, I know you can't do any recruiting in the classroom, but you get very, very close to these young people. I know. I hear them discussing all of your good points, and once in a while some of your weak points. I did, at least, when we sat around the dinner table. We tried to stop the criticisms immediately. They have far more good things to say for most of you than bad things. Now, if you are a Christian teacher and you're outside of the classroom, you're outside of the school, you're even outside of the property owned by the school. You've got a right to say to this fellow, you know, man, I'd like to see you go into church work. We need people like you. You would make a great, great pastor. Consider it, will you? You don't know how far you have planted that seed into that heart. And so, while all Christians are witnesses, and we want to emphasize that, and one occupation is not more important than the other, there are some who do need to be set aside for these full-time jobs in Christian education. Who are some of these great people that we're thinking about? What were they like when they were young people? Well, I don't know any of them, obviously, but I've read books and I've heard a little bit about their early years. I think of a family who were down in one of the Carolinas, North Carolina, I believe. And as I recall, they were farmers, milked a lot of cattle. Now, that father and mother didn't know who they had in their home. They didn't realize that they had a man sitting there, a young person, who would become one of the world's greatest evangelists. That man was Billy Graham. You don't know who you have sitting in your home, parents, in your Sunday school class, or wherever else you may have contact with that person. There was a miner in Germany, and he realized that his son had a lot of talent. So together with his wife, they made the necessary sacrifices, and they did the talking to the young person, and they had him at the university law school. But this is not where that young boy was called to be. And so one day he found his way into the Augustinian monastery. And later on he became a reformer of the church. And that person who sat in Hans Luther's home was none other than Martin. So you see, it goes from Paul to Timothy to so forth to so on, round down the stream until you get to, for example, Graham. Or do you get to somebody who is a very, very committed Christian and is not theologically trained? There's recruiting all the way through that's being done. Now then, once they're recruited, what do you do to help them along the way? What qualifications do they need to have? What particular characteristics do they need to work on? And here finally is my text for today. It's recorded in 2 Timothy 2, where the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others." See, there's the recruitment. "They must be able to endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." That's one of the first characteristics. He wants to please his commanding officer. And who is his commanding officer? His commanding officer is the Lord Jesus Christ. So here has to be a person first who is a commitment to the Lord Jesus. May not have matured all the way, but here's a person who will love to learn more about what God is saying to him in his word. He has to have a strong, strong commitment. "Small thing that I should be judged by you," he can say if somebody is critical of him. But I have to be found faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking with a young lady here not long ago. It was the day of a very, very important ball game for her university. And I said to her, "Are you going to ball game tonight?" And she said, "Man, I'd like to. I hope they win. But you know, I have a group of young ladies whom I am helping in the way of salvation. And we are meeting tonight. So no, first has to come first. And I'm going to go and be with my friends as I teach them more about God's love for them in Jesus Christ. But I'll really hope that my team wins." Secondly, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Now, this person not only loves the Lord Jesus, but he loves the scriptures. In other words, we can branch out a little bit here as far as the rules are concerned. Sure, that contains the gospel, but it also contains the law of God, but it also contains the gospel. And that gospel is what we really need to get to. But the gospel needs to have the law, because it's the law that makes the gospel effective. Now then, my friend, the second characteristic is that he loves God's word. And the third one is that he is a person like the hard-working farmer. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. When we drive by the farms here in the Midwest, you can almost tell by looking at the farmyard what the farmer is like. Some of them are very neat. Everything is picked up in the yard. The buildings are painted. And you can see that these people mean business. But then once in a while you find some that has all kinds of machinery. And you find others that are all clotted out with other things. They haven't mowed the lawn and so forth and so on. The buildings are in bad need of repair. And you wonder how that person is doing. There's something about the personality. Hardworking. Three characteristics: committed to Jesus Christ, committed to the Bible as the Word of God, committed to work hard for the cause of the kingdom. That's what Jesus Christ needs. Yes, you can be sure that the church does really need workers. And they're going to get workers only from those who are living here on this earth and who attend our churches. So these potential great men, great servants of God, are sitting right there in the pew. And many of them need to be recruited. So that's a word today for pastors, for Sunday school teachers, for parents, for neighbors, for friends. Look around. Business recruits. Should the church recruit? And the answer, according to the scriptures, is you bet they should. As Paul was out recruiting Timothy, and Timothy is out recruiting the people of his day, so we who know the Lord Jesus Christ must also be the recruiters for him. Amen.
It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing.
That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread His love to everyone you want to.
Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, grant that those who are your children now may realize that they are needed as recruiters. Recruiters are those people who are in our homes, confronting them with the possibility of serving the Lord Jesus, either as a lay person or as a full-time worker in the clergy. God, your church needs a voice going out, telling what Christ has done for us and what they are able to do for others, that we may have an abundance of workers to tell the good news of great joy. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. May God's richest blessings be with you in the coming week. Christian Crusaders is grateful for the generosity of those who have chosen to remember this ministry in their estate planning. Making an estate gift ensures that others will be able to hear the good news of Jesus Christ even after your time here has passed. For more information about making a final gift to Christian Crusaders, please call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. The sermon you just heard is available to be heard or read on the Internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Please visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to find out this and hundreds of other past broadcasts, as well as more information about our ministry. For a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 75th year of continuous broadcasting biblical truth.